Yes, I just remembered after saying to you, and I think I haven't shared that with anyone except my children, that when Baba knew my secret heart, that the only thing I felt I had to give was just that little piece, that the Magdalene upon meeting Jesus, and answered that only God could have known it, no one else knew it. And even as I've told you, Elizabeth misunderstood and thought I wanted to read for everyone. But Baba, being the Christ, being God-man, he knew and knows every one of our secret hopes and prayers. And so he answered that by saying, go and fetch the book, Elizabeth, and then told you about that. And I can see, as though it were this morning, the beloved's face when he gestured, come now, and gave me a very sweet embrace, and then looked me full in the eyes and said, the way that you've given this to me, you've given this for Baba, touches my heart very much. For you see, Jane, I was Jesus Christ. And he repeated, or had Adi Erich repeat that last phrase. And that, of course, is never to be forgotten. And however, I didn't mention that after he said that, then he called Elizabeth forward. I had told you we were alone, and that isn't true, and Baba likes us to get things exactly right. It was an innocent mistake, because Baba made everything disappear, even the cabin, and the men were so selfless, they were like pieces of furniture. You never even saw their faces. They were so lacking in ego. But I wanted to be clear about it, and Elizabeth was present and did not leave the cabin. She was still there, and Baba gestured to her to sit over here on this side, and she did, and for me to sit directly in front of him to read or to give the piece of the magic. Therefore, when it was finished, then he gestured, come, Elizabeth, come here, and come, Jane, and the reason I thought that maybe it's interesting is because, again, Baba's suffering was so great, and he wrote and told us that, and his body was frail and broken. There had been the two accidents, the body was shattered. And yet there, with the ease, with perfect grace and ease, and he reached out, and these two tremendous women, Elizabeth very large and I very large, and took her in the left, inside the arm, the elbow this way, and myself in this, and held, and it was so like, I can only tell you without exaggerating, it was like iron, like a band of steel had come around my body. And yet there he was seated, and we were these huge beings, and he just went like this in this type, and that was all. And no remark, no words at all. And later, as I told you, Baba very sweetly said, through Mani, a spiritual twin. But from the moment of that vice-like grip, one in each arm, from that moment, and that I think is the important thing, was Baba's strength and power and divinity. But in addition, then we were put together in his work. And for that, of course, on this anniversary, I shall always be eternally grateful to Baba, because what more inspiring example, the selflessness and the wisdom, the inability to project herself in the work, and always saying one only thing she ever said about her own work with Maya Baba, her own discipleship of 50 years. She said to me, you know, one thing I can tell you, because she'd never speak about herself, I never missed an opportunity to be with Baba. I always remembered that. So that staunchness, and Baba permitting me, who am no one, to come like that, to be lifted up from the darkest places and take me right to heaven, and in addition to put me with his disciple, whom he made a fist with his right hand and called his rock. Baba made this sign for Elizabeth. So from that moment, we were destined to work together, and as she and Norina had. And it just really is... 48 hours, Baba brought me. It was so beautiful, and I never can thank him enough. And he did it so gently and sweetly. And then even though there we were to work together always, then Baba said, you must go to New York, and sent me that order 59. But he had Elizabeth come and join me. Whatever project there was, even when I played streetcar, she was there. When the little corn in the fair, Baba gave that blessing to that work, there we were, partners, a team. And it was just so incredibly beautiful of Baba. So I remember that after our talk, that vice-like grip, that iron-like grip, and the expression on Baba's face, and then the embrace, and now go. That was it. So I just wrote it down, yes. And then I mentioned that I told, which is personal, but perhaps it's interesting, because ever since a child, I would say it not once, but many times, I will die before I'm 33. So when that experience came, and I was dying, and did indeed die, and Baba, of course, lifted me up and said, come now, it's not time, and began to give me new life. He sent me a beautiful message, and it said, reborn in my love, you are blessed. Love me more and more. And that was the confirmation of that rebirth. That came after the encounter, the revelation of his divinity. Baba confirmed that rebirth when he returned to India. He sent that cable. He sent messages before, but they were only, now I say only, they were of love. And then, of course, his parting words in 58, when I began to think, now he won't be here, and it's just going to be, you know, I can't really believe it, I believe it, but I can't believe it, like that, and calling me there in the cabin. Now, at that time, the only time in my conscious memory I was ever alone with him, and that's why I wanted to get it honest and straight. I was alone with Baba then, and he, that is, without Elizabeth or other people, Adi was still present, a dear brother, Adi, and whom Baba always gave me a special link with. And that is when the beloved said, do not be nervous or afraid, Jane. Do not be nervous or afraid. I will be with you always. As I turned to go, he added with this gesture, physically. And I remember just my heart saying, please say those words again so I can always remember. And Baba granted that and gestured to Adi, say it again. So he said it again. And that was the parting. So I cling, of course, always to Baba's words or deeds. Of course, they're a great mystery, and I'll never fathom them or understand them, but they've come to life in my life by Baba always letting me know, yes, I am with you. Of course, what we do, as you know, and Mani was talking about it yesterday in Mandalay Hall, and when they said, did Baba use the telephone, and she told the time when he was upstairs in that house before he stopped speaking. And he did speak, and I think it was Gaimai down on the first floor. And then he said, if you keep the line open, you'll always hear me. So, of course, we, including myself, we put static on the line, static on the radio, so Baba can't get through. But when we are open to it, his constant companionship is there. Then in 62s, I mustn't keep you. I didn't think of too much else, really. The thing that I think meant the most to me was I made light of all of the rejections, and of course it was a severe testing time. And you're told to do something, and given the ultimate of it on Broadway, and the man who founded the whole film business, my friend Arthur Lowe, and Baba doing his work, and then suddenly not only everything stopping, but there being no opportunities of any kind. So wonderful, wonderful for the ego, being told that you can't do this, you're not right for that, and what are you doing in this anyway? And things only kind of worse than that. Indeed, in Broadway, there was a lot of even physical abuse. And it was very interesting. Yeah, he told me one day, he said, I said, relate. He didn't like Stanislavski or Strasberg, my teacher, the method. Siegel didn't. He's a big TV producer. He didn't belong in the theater. So he said, I said, relate. To relate to us means to relate inwardly. So I was relating to my co-star, to Wendell Corey, within. And he came up and said, when I say relate, this is what I mean, you know, and gave me a good, knocked me across the stage, and because he meant to relate with the body and so on. cut to my power. I kept taking it away from me out of town. So it was a wonderful thing because great opportunity to hold on to Baba's name, Eartha Kitt. You know, we'd speak about Baba, everybody in the cast. And I felt, believe it or not, I really felt compassionate towards Alex Siegel because I had produced and I directed. I'd had that experience since I was 18, and I knew the reason he needed a whipping boy is because he was afraid. He was insecure, and the show wasn't doing well, and he had to pick on someone. And because I wouldn't talk back or fight back with him, it went on like that. So Barbara gave a rich experience, and then, of course, everything stopped. So that all I wanted to say was then in going to his feet and going to his feet once more after all that longing and being able to be embraced by the beloved, I mean, you can imagine what that is like. And then his turning to me to have worked Jane with that sweet, sweet twinkle. It was so adorable. And I, you know, as I told you, I said, you know, in my heart, I said, you know very well, Baba, I haven't had any work. And then at the same split instant, oh, yes, you sent me that beautiful picture of Jesus with the children, and you told me I could copy out and work on the book. So, no, yeah, yeah. And for the first and only time in my life, I said the right thing. And I say, your work and Baba and Mani, Baba had Mani confirm it later in a letter. He made a strong and vital gesture with both hands on that beautiful chair at Rupasad and looked so happy. Ah, is it my... Baba's work, he went like this, slapped the chair hard like this twice, so be it, always, and added that always. I think of all the gifts he's given me, perhaps that was the greatest because it was, you know, that confirmation from Baba that he would let me in some way to think that I was helping in his work. So that was very sweet. That was in the first morning, November 1st. First thing Baba said, do you have work, Jane? It's your Baba's work. So be it always. That was the first morning he asked Phyllis Frederick. I just wrote to her because she had written to me. And I knew she had to cancel a trip, and I felt very sad. And postpone, that's better. And I said, I remember on the first morning of this anniversary, the first question Baba asked, like gestured here, how's the hip, Phyllis? First person that he spoke, the first question he asked. So, of course, Baba's with her in it all. But that, yes, that was the first morning. And then, of course, Baba had his meet the girls, and each day was like a heaven.
That must have been the first time that you met
Matt. It was. Absolutely the first. Baba gestured and said, here, come, and for us to greet. There was a small group of women. We had not all come at once that morning. And so now Baba said, let's meet the girl. And then I did have that lovely opportunity of meeting Mira and seeing this purity and beauty Baba had spoken to. And she had, by Baba's grace, written to me. Baba had asked her, and I had several lovely, one or two lovely letters, but I had not met her. But I didn't see Mani. And she was always Baba's pen, you know. And so we'd hear about the scent, everything. Elizabeth would show me it. So I remember saying, but where's Mani? And she popped up over here from the side, and Baba turns, that's Mani. And yes, that was the first time. It was so lovely.
Elizabeth must have told you about
Mani. Oh, so much, so much. The thing I remember especially she said about her, sometimes people would say, you know what, I expect it would be natural. They'd say, Elizabeth, for some, they wouldn't want to be, but in the ashram in the early days, they might be a little bit envious, you see, they'd say, of this particular special role that Baba had given to Mira. And Elizabeth would look dumbfounded because she could never understand that kind of emotion, really. And then her reply, instead of saying, like, we might, you know, how can you speak of such thing as jealousy or something, she would always reply in a way to increase your understanding very deeply, but also to realize perhaps the limitation of your understanding. She would say, well, I can only tell you this. I don't know of anyone ever, said in the whole world, I know of no one that could have done what she did. She said, did you know Baba gave her that direct order, be cheerful at all times? And she said, no matter what, that smile, that cheerfulness was there. Said, who among us could ever do such a thing as that? Said, we couldn't. And she had such, of course, love for each one of the girls, Elizabeth, and felt so happy at the opportunity to be with them in India. And, of course, she was very happy that Baba brought them to the center. She always spoke of that, and so did they. With great joy, the birds and the beautiful guest house compound, and Baba coming over and talking with the saints in the evening, and just private and intimate, and they remember every detail. And so did dear Elizabeth. Yes. Oh, 62 was, it was just, well, as Baba said, it was unprecedented. And the only time that you felt in your life that you ever experienced what Baba calls oneness, you hear about it, you read about it, you try to understand when Baba says to find him and everyone that we're all one. But because, as you know, of our false self, we don't, it's one thing to hear it, it's another to experience it. We actually experienced oneness under the pandal, people of every color, race, and creed, but it seemed like with the beloved sitting there and blessing and moving his beautiful hands like this, it seemed as though it was one heartbeat. I don't think I imagined that. It felt like we were one person sitting there. Oh, that was my deepest impression of the East World, except glimpses of Babasap. I do remember that. Yes, and especially in the mornings, because again, by Baba's grace, he let me sit at his right hand. I can't believe it when I think of it. And then I often think that how much is what we do and how much Baba gives us. And then sometimes the young people come and visit me. I ask them that because they're very wise in Baba. Ask them what they feel. And we talk about it because I would be the very first one up. Very first, I say to Wendy, let's be the first one up. And the little man would bring this lovely tea. And then I'd be the first one in the dining room and ask for my toast and my coffee, egg, whatever, the first. And then instead of taking too much time for the toilet, you see, just rush, be the first on the bus, the first out, and the first in groups. In other words, I would really try. And then I'd be able to just sit there at Baba's right hand. So whether that was that effort that we make, Baba's grace, or a combination, I don't know. But I remember that. And anyway, very fortunate to sit so could see a little bit of the suffering on his face. And then he said, suddenly, like lightning out of the air on November 3rd morning, suddenly, you should wish for my time to come. And it was just really like a stab, and wish for Baba's time, you know, wish for him to drop the body and go. You didn't know what. So you should wish for my time to come. And that is when you saw that suffering, and he made the gesture that he is bound to see, and then would be free and would be much closer to us, even now than then, and sitting in that beautiful little pink coat. And then another time, I think it's the next morning, do you want to see me like this? And Baba touched his beautiful form, or like this, and he raised his hand and looked upward with a glorious look. And I don't know what the others felt. My heart just cried out inside. Of course, I didn't speak. I cried out, I don't know which to want. Please tell me. After a moment of silence, and Baba replied, and again with that beautiful upward gesture, like this, you should want the beloved, God the beloved, as I really am. That is what you should want. I remember that so clearly. Every moment was full of, it's why you forget, speak to people about Baba's silence, because he wasn't silent, as you know. I mean, you're with Baba a long time, but some don't know when they first come towards him, and you forget to mention. So every moment was full of drama and laughter and tears and joy and action and activity. Of course, when Baba wanted for emphasis or just for love, then suddenly, you know, that stillness would come. But it would be only just brief, because you know how he loved that activity. And you understood his gestures, the voice was almost like an echo, a confirmation. And Baba also spoke, I know, because twice in my life, Baba spoke to me that way, excuse me, three times in my life. and that is with the inner voice. And that voice is much clearer and deeper and truer than any sound we make with the mouth. And it's never to be forgotten. It goes into the consciousness. And so I know if Baba spoke that way to me 3 times in my life, that he must have spoken to his dearest, precious ones, close ones, many, many times. So he spoke in so many different ways. And at that sahavas, that's what you felt. It's like one heartbeat, but like Baba's the orchestra, the symphony conductor, every single soul there, every heart, felt that they were the only one in the whole world, and Baba was giving, was truly giving each one of them something very special. There again, his divinity, his uniqueness, he makes us feel we're the only people in the whole world, and you think, oh, and I had this lovely experience, and this happened, you know, and then a little while later, when you go back home, or later years, or maybe the next day, the person sitting next to you, or your child, or your friend, or in my case, in Elizabeth, you hear what deep and beautiful experience they had that was so completely different from your own. So that is another memory. It's a rainbow of color, gold and reds and umbers and the colors I never forget, Baba's beauty and all those wonderful people like the gypsies standing in line in that hot sun, and people walking hundreds of miles. It was unforgettable. But as far as my own, I don't think I remember any other experience. Yes, it rained, and Baba said it might. And he teased us, and he said, suppose it rains. And everybody laughed because it wasn't the time for it to rain. And, of course, it did. And first we sat because we didn't want to miss one gesture of Baba's, and then it kept going very, very fully, and I saw Kamala Bhandari. She's a doctor I met through Charles having little Punitani. She's just been to the center. General Bhandari's wife sitting in front of me with umbrella. And, of course, Baba did that because we were later to become very good friends. So I went up and sat in with her. But in short, we didn't want to move because Baba was still there. So we just sat. Then, of course, pretty soon we were drenched. And then Baba said, you must go back. And so they came. The little butterflies, I called them Baba's sweet, precious little nuns, like little butterflies fluttering around us, so solicitous, and here, do this, and drying us. And then we took off our clothes, and I remember Baba asking, I needed the, and when he was at, maybe it's the day before. Yes, he asked her the day before, what would you do if I asked you to go stark naked through the street? Would you do that for me? And I'm sure Anita replied, yes, Baba, if you ask me. But I remembered because I had on the kind little undergarment that got drenched. And so I was very hesitant. Now, should I take this off? Because then I won't, you know, I'd be very modest. But I couldn't help it because it was soaked. And I knew Baba was saying, yes, and you have to take it off. And so I did. And they put on some cotton dress, a larger size. I was younger then. Of course, she had very nice. And I started out, and I was sent back. They came, and they said, Jane's to go back inside. I didn't know what was happening. So I went back inside in a little cubicle. They had hung a tablecloth or something up. And then they came and said, this is what you're to put on. And it was very beautiful. It was yellow with lovely crimson flowers, and it was a dressing gown of soft linen that folded over of mirrors. And they say, you're to put this on. And so I put it on, having little or nothing underneath. And I remember thinking Baba's words were to go next. And I remember feeling, very blessed and happy, this lovely garment. And also Baba doing 18 million things simultaneously. It was a good joke and test because we wanted to look very beautiful in our best. We had our hair all done and our beautiful dress on, and there we were, stripped, you see. Just, it was so lovely. And Baba gave a beautiful gift, the only picture, there's a film that he let his brother take inside, Guru Prasad Bairam took, after saying no films inside. And by Baba's grace, there's a little bit I'm at Baba's side, so that is a treasure for many lifetimes. But I didn't have any picture with Baba. And when I returned home from the sahavas, then this photograph came, and it was Wendy kneeling with Baba and from Selma Hassan in California. And it's beautiful, beautiful picture. And we wrote and thanked her. And one day I was at the little corner at the fair. I remember being all huddled up in sweaters and scarves because the air conditioning broke. It's very cold. And I was just saying Baba's name because it was really hard to be there. It was so cold, and I was sensitive to that. Later, Baba told me to have operation and all that. So it was a test, and it was a happy test. I was sitting kind of cold like this, and the coin booth, which was opposite, rang, and I never would answer it because it wouldn't be for us, but for some reason I did. And it was Wendy from our home in New York. She said, "Mother, Mother's so excited. You know that picture of me kneeling at Baba's feet in 62? And I said, "Of course I do." And Wendy, she said, "Mummy, Moopsie," she calls it, "Moopsie, that's not me, that's you." I said, "No, Wendy, stairs." She said, "I can see your dark roots growing out. I've been keeping my hair light and touching it up, you see, and I wanted to let it in the theater." I did that, and because it was always platinum, and I wanted to let it grow natural for Baba. So it was half dark and half light, and went home that evening, and sure enough, of course, it was very clear because there was Mira's lovely dressing gown. And so I was so grateful to Baba and to dear Selma, because it's the only one I've ever had with Baba. And of course, like anyone, I would treasure it very much. And I mention it because as something, again, Baba's links are so beautiful, something so precious, how he works. Before I knew him, before I knew his divinity, I saw his beauty and compassion and all that. But it's so different than knowing his divinity. And I was sitting near him, and that time in 58, and Selma Hassan came and knelt at Baba's feet, and she looked up at him, and something very beautiful there. Something wounded me inside. That beautiful look and the way she knelt and looked up, it seemed to me anyway, that she really knew that who Baba truly is. And you see how sweet all those years later, that the picture of me kneeling, looking up at the Lord, was given to me by her. I just, she just took a little photograph. Yes, it was outside, with all the great darshan that time of the rain. Because then after the arti, Baba told me to come and kneel and have my embrace. And that's when she took it. Yes, because the film Bairam took inside was on the last day morning of November 4th, inside groups. That's why we were stunned, because Baba said, "No film inside." Then he told Bairam to take it, and the man was singing so beautiful, the one who sang for Khrushchev. Baba said that Khrushchev thought he had a voice box in here because he was so beautiful. And he was singing Kavali. Bhajan is over there, and Bairam is taking the film. And we were very surprised because Baba, and of course, the most beautiful thing that Baba let us kiss his feet, for some of us, the only aspiration, the only prayer, the only hope we'd ever had. And he said, "You won't ever see me like this again." He touched his body, and your heart was broken. But then Baba granted that. And after he granted that, as I told you the other day, that was the culmination, the ultimate. There's nothing more that you could ever ask if you lived a million lifetimes. Baba let us kiss his feet. And then he turned and he said, he asked me directly. This was the last. And he said, "Are you happy now, Jane?" "Yes, Baba." That's when he said, "I am the Christ. I am the Christ. Open your eyes so that you may see me as I really am." And then he went away. He went away, 62. Looking like a little child. You could have picked him up. He's so tiny. I remember Erich on one side of him, and I believe it was Adi on the other. And they went towards that room, you know, over on the left, finish. He did allow us, those of us who stayed on, and we did as long as we could. We didn't go off the place, at least Elizabeth and Kitty and I didn't, and Ruthie just stayed and thought about us, and maybe he'll call us again, you know. And we just stayed there. But he allowed those that had remained to come. Meanwhile, we went up to see his home and all that. It was so beautiful to see Baba's home. And he wanted us to go all the places, and they were so kind to us. But he allowed us to come under the tree to say farewell. We could go under the tree. Remember that. and remember the pain of it, and all of us feeling the same, the ache in the heart. You couldn't bear it, and yet you were so filled with joy, with his love. Baba was quite reserved. You know how he can withdraw himself. And he was making it easier for us. I remember the children got close to him, but I didn't. I stood at the car there with Elizabeth and Kitty. I couldn't move. It was as though I was rooted on the spot always. I would be worse than the children, you know, pushing people aside, trying to get close to him, sitting at his feet. But I knew that, you know, we had to begin to find Baba in our hearts and not to weep and be silly and all that, that Baba wouldn't like it. He said, in fact, weep, but cry. Go ahead, I understand it. Don't show it. Don't show it. So I just stood the car, and Baba raised his beautiful hand with three fingers like this. And I presume that that meant you three and my love. And then he went in the car. It was hard for him to go because people wouldn't move. They were all in front of the car and all that. And I remember Charles and Wendy running after the car, just trying to touch Baba's hand. And my John's experience was extremely beautiful. I made a little teeny note of it, and then I mustn't talk more. A little sweet note that he did not have the fullness of experience in 58 that was Baba's will, you see. Charles' recognition immediate, and Wendy's also in a different way. John's very, very drawn, but not the full recognition, and Baba gave it to him in 62. And that was really astounding. And I remember exactly, we were under the pandal. It was in the afternoon, and Baba had given me severe test. I don't think I'd go into that. Baba gave me test, and he helped me to get through it, and so that's all right. But I was being selfish and thinking about that test. I was caught up in my own thing, and I looked, and there was my son John standing in front of the people like this, up in front of Baba, and I thought, what is he doing there? He shouldn't be standing in front of people like that, and I was just going to go and correct him. Pretty soon, time was through, and it went out of my head, and because we were all independent. I always had my children totally independent with Baba, not running after me or I going with them, anything. They had their own relationship with Baba. So I, even though they were very young, I went back to my room. Wendy had gone to play with one of the little Adempfors, and I was there alone, and my son John came. He was 10 when he met Baba, so he would have been almost 14. And he came and sat. As you know, it's very hard for him to express himself. Very different from Charles. He feels a lot. Mani wrote that. Said, so shy to reveal his feelings, but so full of feelings for Baba. He sat on the chair opposite me, put his head down, and wouldn't look up. And I knew something very deep. It was all going on in here. I waited. Finally, he looked up at me. And he said, Mom, he said, so you had to go back early because of school is going back with the dance. He said, Mom, you know, I have to go back with Peter. The other, yes, John, I know. Please do something for me. What is it? Did you know that picture I liked? The one of Baba and the Sadra? Will you please get it for me? And then he looked up at me in the eyes, and I saw. And I knew that he knew. And while I was questioning my Lord, why do you do this if you love me? Why do you give me this? Why does this happen? And I read that later in a spiritual book. It said, while I am questioning your grace and your love, maybe not doubting it, but questioning it or this test, you are giving the greatest gifts. Because exactly at that moment, my son was, Baba drew him up to the front and electrified him and revealed himself. So there again, you see the lesson that is learned. So it was a beautiful thing for my son, and it has remained with him ever since, and grown, the love has grown. And he's quiet about it, what a test Baba gives him to be this professor at James Madison University, wherever he is in Virginia. This is the eighth or ninth year, not one single Baba love near him. No group, no friends, nobody to share, but he's held on. And his sweet son, David, is just full of Baba's love. You met David. Oh, of course you did. Went in the boat, and he wants to come, and he will come. Jay Baba Grammy, he says. And he says, his little beloved God, help me to love you more. Prayer in the evening. And he's just Baba's child. So Baba gives so many gifts. So that was just that sweet little thing. And Charles, of course, getting to take off Baba's sandals. He gave each one of them so much. And then he sent Francis. Yes, I just made a note because it was so sweet. I had never met him. And one day at the turf club, he came walking up. And because I had just written a note about Stay With God. And we had a nice, brief little meeting. And the reason that I mention it, I think it's interesting because it's the only book that Baba ever signed for me. And it came out of the blue, just this phone, this doorbell, excuse me, at the apartment in New York, not long after Baba sent us, because I know we were right off Fifth Avenue and we were only there 2 years. And on 87th, the phone rang, the doorbell rang, and this man put this package in my hand. I opened it. It's a book that said Stay With God, and then opened the cover, and there was Baba's signature. No message, no word, nothing. Of course, I wept for days, and then I thought, and again, in my ignorance, I thought, oh, you see, because I was in the theater, and this was so beautiful. This is so beautiful. I thought, Baba means for me to produce this. This must be produced. The world must have it. You know how your mind jumps and all these things, so an ego or whatever. And also, maybe part of it, I hope, was love for Baba. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this could be? So that was there. And then I could see when it didn't happen that that wasn't what Baba meant. And gradually, over the years in New York and then returning to his center at Myrtle Beach, then I realized when we did a portion of it, Gemma and Scott McKay, Gem adapted, Scott did music, fantastic song, Stay With God. It's one of the most beautiful that's ever been written for Baba. And we just did a portion of it, you know, for Baba's birthday. Then, it was quite good, actually. Then I realized what Baba meant, mainly, of course, for me to learn from the book, to read it and know more of his life and to try to understand poetry, which is very hard for me. I've always had a block about poetry and all of that. But also what he meant to inspire others to dramatize this, to write music for it. Now, Kenny Richard, you know Kenny Richard, he's a guitarist and musician. He has almost completed a score for the entire book of Stay With God. And some of it is quite good anyway. And then this Chicago one, this different ones have done part. So anyway, that's what I felt. It's one reason that Baba gave it to me with his own precious name on it, is so that in time that could be done all over the world, all over the country. Because if I'm correct, I believe that Baba said, Stay With God will move the world as no book has done. It will be an epic poem, my epic, because it was done my lifetime and I blessed it. That is what I believe Baba said. So I just wrote that down. And then I told you about the rain, and that's really all that I can remember. Well, I mean, I remember every detail, but it's all that I know of that might be interesting. Yes, yes, yes. And Baba let him walk early, and they got special permission to walk early, and he did. And then because he's there early, then Baba let him remove his sandals. I didn't see that. I wasn't there. But then at the end of the day, I saw when we were ready to go, and Baba was such a sweet gesture. You know how he'd be like a child. He lifted his hand like this and looked questioningly to Charles. Charles said, look down, you see, where are my shoes? Where are my sandals? Like that. So he knew, you know, where are my sandals, Charles? Charles comes forward and said, come then, Baba, and told him to place them on it. So that, of course, that's his gift of gifts. That should last him quite a few lifetimes. And Wendy, he said one day, I didn't know Baba's gesture. I was right next to him, and Wendy's here. And he went gesture towards in his tummy-tum or his chest like this, fierce gesture, questioning to Wendy like this. And I didn't know what Baba meant, but she did. He was asking her, tell me, Whom do you love more? Mommy, and he gestured towards me, or Baba? And she said, Mommy, Baba! And he laughed.
That time your father, you said, printed about a picture in his newspaper.
That yes.
Was 56, was it, or
52? 52, I believe. 52, I believe. Yes.
And do you know there was a woman, a young woman who came to India in 59 from New York, named Joanna Smith? Did you ever know?
New York in what year? 69.
No. She met Bob in 56.
Oh.
In 59, she came to India.
59.
She was allowed to meet Bob in India.
How wonderful.
Joanna Smith, but I never heard from her again or what happened to her.
I don't think so, dear. No, but maybe Kitty does. I can try to find out. I never heard of her.
Yeah. No. She was traveling in India from work and right up to Harry came or left.
Oh, how marvelous. She's very fortunate.
Just for a couple hours.
Most fortunate. Yes.
I just wondered what her background was.
Yeah. No, precious. I never met her.
Do you know this Dr. Starr, Dr. Bolan?
Dr. Bolan has passed away, I'm afraid. He was at Myrtleby, and he met Barbara in Wonderful Man Chiropractor, and he met Barbara in 56, David. Yes. And he was there in 58. Oh, yes, yes, right. Yeah.
What about Mrs. Lynn?
Passed away, beautiful person, Dr. Lynn's wife, and she helped to build the hospital with Elizabeth. She didn't have the blessing of meeting Barbara, I don't believe, to my knowledge. Oh, yes, all the people living there. Uh-huh.
And you said Diana, your other daughter, didn't
you? No, because Diana was not with us at that time. She was taken from me when she was 2 years old by her father. And she was raised in Roman Catholic, the family's Italian ancestry, and a very brilliant father. He was one of the heads of Army Medical Corps and an attorney. And the advocate's office, they met during the war and married before I was 18, married very young. And had Diana soon after. So when he returned, then he took Diana, that's another story, and raised her. And then Barbara did not return her to us, to our family, until not long after the 62 darshan. We were back, and I remember just crying out to Barbara, why did it have to be like that? You know, it wasn't what they said, and why did my child have to be taken from? Because there was a lot of pain in that, you can understand. And I cried out. And after I called out to Barbara, and I don't think I was ready for Diana before that, nor she for me. I think it was God's timing. But anyway, when I cried out, 3 days later, the letter came from my father that Diana was trying to find me. You see, she had turned, 17 or 18, and left home and was trying to find her mother. And she landed, Barbara landed on my doorstep. That my time with Barbara was always Easter in May. That's my anniversary, that's my time. And he brought her back, Eastern May of 63, after we returned. And she stayed with us for quite a while and then married a very fine man. He was Swedish. And John and she were married and had Christopher, that's Ludvigsson, that is their son. And then Christopher was, you know, they lived at Happy House with us a while and all that. And then Diane went subsequently to California and has been there. And she has her own business, Rainbow Associates, which is placing people in vocational rehabilitation, handicapped people in jobs. And she has two Barbara lovers working with her. She's doing very well. And she's held Bob in her heart and loved him. And Mara was speaking of that, and how beautiful Diane, though she didn't meet Barbara, how much she loves him in her heart. And she's brought the boys up in Baba's love. I'm very grateful to Baba for that.
And when this film showing was at your theater, was that
Shani? Oh, yes. I don't know who actually projected it, to tell you the truth. The dancers prepared the theater, and Charmin had taken it.
Because it was a theater on the round.
Ah. Yes, they put a screen up exactly on the other. It's a vast theater, and the seats were all my theaters in the round. And the seats were like this, and Barbara here, and then the screen was over in that far corner. And whom Kitty asked to project it, I'm not sure. Perhaps Frank Eaton usually did that in those days. But Charmian, you're absolutely right. She took the film, and it was that lovely journey in 56, and Barbara's very pleased. He kept pointing different things out to us.
And
I didn't think so. I thought it was just 56, but I was in such a daze. It could well be. I only looked at Barbara. Yes, you know, just finding out who he is. I couldn't take my eyes from him, and he understood. I couldn't look at the film. I never saw it. But they told me that it was the film of 56.
Yes. Do you like to know Norina's birthday?
Oh, my dear, I did know Norina's birthday. I was just looking at it in some of her papers now. Wait. Wow. I can't think of it. Would you like me to get it for you? Mm-hmm. I write it down. Oh, of course. Because I have all those things at home. Elizabeth told me to take care of them. I've got one of them. Yes. Oh, very important. And then you wanted me to look.